the Lord has given us. Pray for your preacher this morning. It's a message that God's put on my heart. And sometimes it's hard, it hits us all in the face, but it's an important message that we're not hearing in today's times. It so much needs to be preached from the pulpits. Amos chapter number 4. The old devil likes it when it gets quiet in church, don't he? If you love the Lord this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That'll run him off.
Amen.
Amen.
Get on
out of here. That's right. Get on out of here. Let's boot him out the side door. He likes it when it's quiet in church. I'm glad we can come and we can praise and we can worship. Amos chapter number 4. When he finds your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. First verse says, "Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks, with posterity, with fish hooks. And you shall go out of the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel, and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving for leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, and there were yet three months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece of rain was upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come upon your nostrils. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." Will you pray with us this morning? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this opportunity and privilege to be at your house with your people. God, we pray that you just touch us this morning and breathe on us, God. Would you anoint us and help us, Father, to preach the scriptures, Father. We pray, God, that you just be with each heart. Stir us this morning and help us, Lord, at where we struggle, where we fall short. Father, that we would walk closer to you. God, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, would you draw them in and save them before it be too late. God, would you stir all our hearts this morning, for we sure do need you. Father, we're nothing without you. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for sending Jesus in that march up Calvary's Hill to pay our sin debt. And we ask it all in Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This morning, out of this chapter of Amos, it gives us some thoughts here this morning about how the people would be brought into captivity. It tells us about these people and the lives that they were living. And the Bible describes them as cows, and he says that they was in a place of Bashan. And those of you that's knowing your Bible, where it talks about that was a well fertile area, very soil. They were well fed. They were. He was telling them how they were describing them as women. It said they were pampered, they were sleek, they had everything going their way. And he said, you know what? He said, you've acted in this way and you've brought up and to your leaders, to your masters. That's what it says, right? And it says that you have gained your wealth and everything that you have because what did it say? It says you crushed the needy. You've oppressed the poor. You're the way you look down on people. You took from people to bring what you've got, the wealth that you've got. And it says that Amos there, he went on in verse, verse 5 and through 7, I believe. Verse 4 and 5. It says that there was a false worship. He said that they had idol worship. They worshiped everything but God. He said, bring your tithes, bring your offerings, bring all this stuff that you had. And he said, then you can come to church. But what he was saying was, he was using a little sarcasm. And he said, everything you got is because of you mistreated people, you tried to oppress them, you crushed them, you stepped on them, you've not held them in a high regard, you're always looking down on people. You have drained people for all they got, and you didn't want to be with me. Now bring all this stuff to the Lord. He said, maybe that'll work. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to tell you now. He said, the Lord's fixing to have some business. The Lord told us in these few verses about chastisement that He brought. There's a list of them. Look at verse 6. He wanted to bring corrective measures to get their attention again. He said, I can't get your attention the way that you're doing, the way that you're living. He said, let me try something else to see if I can get your attention. Verse 6, it says that He sent a famine in the land. He said, there'll be a plainness of teeth, there'll be a want of bread. It means you're not going to have nothing to eat. There's going to be a shortage there. I believe it's in verse 7 and 8, He talked about a drought. He said, I'll send a drought. But as we see with the famine, and he returned it to the Lord. He sent a drought. He said, I'll let rain in one city, not rain in another city. And when you go, you won't be satisfied with what you need. But yet, you're still not returning to me.
Right.
Then he says, he'll send blasting and mildew upon all the plants. What that is that's a disease. And he said, the locusts will eat them up. But still, they wouldn't come to him. And then it also talks about he'll send a pestilence. To see if that would get your attention to wake them up. They still would not return to it. He said, I'll send war. You'll be overthrown. He said, you're going to lose lives. He said, there'll be devastation all over your land. Just like in Sodom and Gomorrah when it was destroyed, he said, it's the same thing burning. But yet they still not return to God. So here we go. Verse 12. Let's read it again. What did he tell them in verse 12? Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Then listen, this solemn warning that God gave him. He said, prepare to make thy God an Israel. He said, I'm going through all these measures to try to get your attention, to try to awaken you, to try to get you to open your eyes, open your heart to what's going on. And he said, since you don't, he said, this ain't salvation, it's coming to this judgment.
That's right.
He said, prepare. He said, prepare. We are living today in a generation that thinks they'll live forever, that nothing can go wrong, that nothing bad's going to happen. I was watching a TV show when he was interviewing this old boy, and what he was a part of this movement, and I believe it's Antifa, whatever it was, but he was in this movement that wants to control everything, and what they're doing, they're going about everything the wrong way, they're goofy in their agenda, what they believe. And he was going through that, and he said, you know what, his dad was trying to warn him, and he said, you know, swear about me, Dad. He said, ain't nothing going to kill me, ain't nothing take me. He said, I'll live forever. And I could not believe that boy was talking like that. But we're living in a generation where they think that nothing's going to happen. And I remember that day, this younger generation, I always thought that I would be fine. I could handle anything that ever come my way. That whatever it is, as long as I was ready to meet it, I could think whatever it is. You ain't saved, you ain't ready to God. It don't matter what kind of bunker she built, what kind of these people that's prepared for doomsday and stuff like that. Only preparation you got to make is accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And once you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you are prepared for whatever comes your way.
Right.
He's speaking, you come back to Him. I got to get your attention. I got to get your attention, and then I want to give you a few reasons today of why it's so important to prepare to meet God. Number one, there's an uncertainty in life. An uncertainty in life. Job in 7:6, he called it swiftness. You remember, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And you know what that is? Anybody knows what that is? He said it was as rapid as the web that's spun back and forth. Job 7:14, verse 1. And two, he's talking about man is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. And he goes on to talk about it's like the flowers that are cut down. James chapter number 4 asks the question when he said, what is your life?
We ask the question, what is your life? What is my life? What is your life?
Says even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. It don't matter if you live to be 80 years old. Your life is a vapor when it's compared to eternity. And we're not promised tomorrow.
And that's why James said, what is your life? What have you done with your life? What kind of preparations have you made? I'm not talking about today, are you investing, are you putting in the 401k, hey, all that stuff's good, I'm going to say not to. But what kind of preparations have you made for eternity?
Are you ready to meet God?
I'm not trying to scare you this morning, but I'm going to be truthful, I'm happy. Somebody today could be, this could be the day that you go meet God.
Oh, preacher, you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Today might be a day that I go meet God. Are you ready? Are you really ready? There's an uncertainty in life. James asked that question.
He said, what is your life? He said, there's secrets of life. Proverbs chapter number 27. Let me read this verse. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Right.
You better pay attention to that. This Bible talks about he presumes that he has all resources to control his own destiny is what that's doing. You don't control your own destiny. You know, people tell you that. Let's just leave it to destiny. Let's leave it to chance. Let's see if it's in the cards.
Tell you something. You better be prepared to meet God.
How has God got your attention?
Well, preacher, there's been a lot going on with me this week, this month, this year. There's a whole lot going on.
Maybe that's God trying to get your attention. God always gives warning. I know a lot of times people will say, well, I wait for God to come sit in my pew. I wait for God to tap me on the shoulder. I wait for God to yell in my ear. Maybe God has showed you some things and he gave you a warning that your time's drawing near.
Then again, you might live another 20 years out of God. But your life is a vapor today. There's uncertainty in life. But you know what there also is? An uncertainty. There's also a certainty in life.
Romans chapter 5.
Wherefore is one man sinned into the world, and then death. And then death.
Death is universal. Death don't care your background. Death don't care your color. Death don't care if it's old or if you're young. Death don't care if you're moral or if you're depraved. Death comes to everybody. Death has hit everybody but two people in life.
In your life, there's only two people that can see death and walk straight down.
And you walked up, Elijah was carried up in a chair.
The only two people, everybody else, died.
See, it tells us that there's a rival of death. There's also Hebrews 9:27, there's an appointment of death.
He says it's appointed for men to die. You know what your Bible says after that? And then the judgment.
So not only is there a certainty of death, there's a certainty of judgment this morning. What's the Bible say about that judgment? It says it tells us that all saints will appear at the judgment seat. All will appear for themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'm going to read this verse right here. You're going to write this down and you can turn with us. These good verses this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All will appear. Not all will all appear.
All will answer when it is judgment seat.
You see, nobody can take your place to go to this judgment seat. Will be nobody answering for you. You remember when we was younger and we didn't want to order, we didn't want to do something, we didn't want to make all the appointments, or we didn't want to get on the phone and call nobody. We wanted mom to do it. We wanted dad to do it. Or you remember when we wanted to always spend a night with somebody else, we'd get that other person. Well, if you call, I know they don't say no. You just talk. My mom will tell you, no, she don't even know. We get somebody else to do that. But when we get to the judgment seat, everybody is going to answer for themselves. Everybody will stand for themselves. You see, I love that. It's like,
I can't answer for you and I can't stand in your place for it.
Nobody can.
As much as we love each other, as much as mom and daddy loves you, as much as your spouse loves you, as much as your kids loves you, there is nobody else standing in your place. There's nobody else that's going to answer for you. They and you will answer for you. You don't answer for me, and I'll answer for you. We are both be glad for that. You'll answer for yourself.
Yeah.
There's a time coming where we will be at the judgment seat.
The judgment seat is for those that are saved. The Bible talks about that, and also in, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, I wrote this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about rewards for service when you get there. Those for faithful service. He said there'll be rewards. Or the Bible has called them praise.
Yes.
There'll be those for faithful service. Rewards for heaven. What you've done in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And let me tell you something today. You rob yourself of so many blessings when you don't live life to the fullest for God when you get saved. A lot of people think, well, all I have to do is come and get saved. Everything's grand and glorious. Yes, you have made you a place in heaven because Jesus told us that when you get saved. But you are missing blessings when you don't live for God. The start of your life is not the day you were born, but the day you get saved is the start of your life. That's when life really starts for there, and that's when you really start living. And you rob yourself of blessings. You rob yourself of blessings when you don't turn on that good gospel music. When you don't show up at church. When revivals and stuff's not important. When singings are not important. When reading the Bible's not that important. Well, I won't pick it up on Sunday. The preacher's going to read out of it. Brother Tommy's going to teach us in Sunday school, so I'll get my Bible then. You are robbing yourself of blessings when you don't spend time with God. And let me tell you something. Life is hard. You better soak up all the time you can get with God. And the best thing I like about God is as much time as you want to spend with Him, He wants to spend that time with you.
Amen.
He wants to spend it with you.
Yeah.
You see, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus did. And nobody will ever care for you like Jesus does. He's the one that loves us. Mr. Lord, He loves us with an everlasting love. I can't say I have an everlasting love for anybody else. Things can happen. Things can happen with our spouses, things can happen with our kids, and we would hope that we had an unconditional love, but I can't sit up here and promise you that my love is everlasting. But God's is. God's is. There's a certainty of life, uncertainty of life. There's a certainty of death. There's a certainty of judgment. The Bible says the sinner, the saints go to the judgment seat, but listen to this. The sinners will appear with the great white throne judgment. Look at Revelation chapter 20. I want you to get these verses this morning. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. Sinners will appear at the great white throne. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne to him that sat on the throne, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The Bible tells us that the sinners, when they get to the great white throne judgment, said they will see the face of God. They'll see the face of God. This room around here, we have no fear. Oh, if we end up going to hell, it'd be a big party, and my friends would be there. No, I'm not like that. Everybody is going to see God. Bible says the saints will be here again. The sinners still going to meet God. The sinners still go. They're still going to meet God. You're not going to heaven if you're lost. But you do go meet God. And the Bible teaches us that they'll see the face of God. They'll also see the facts of God. Look in verse 12 through 14. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works, whether they accepted Jesus or they rebelled against Jesus. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. There's facts about it. Now stay with me on this. There's also the face of God, the facts of God, the finality of God. Look in verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. So that tells us, what does that tell us about the certainty of judgment? Not only is there a certainty of judgment, there's a certainty of eternity. There's a certainty of eternity. You see, you will live forever in one or two places. You will live forever.
A lot of people talk about how scared they are of death. I just don't understand it. And you know what the problem is? Let me tell you something about being saved, about heaven, about your Bible. The devil always wants you to understand everything before you accept the face of God. He always says that you must understand. There's some things that you just ain't going to understand. And you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand anything about salvation. Just believe when you come to Him that the Bible says He'll save you. When you confess, when you repent, then you come to salvation. The devil wants to twist it. He wants to tell you, well, I can't be saved. You've done way too far. You've done too much. Lord, you can never walk in a church house. Then people will look down on you. Then people will judge you. But let me tell you something. It don't matter what anybody else thinks about you. It matters what God thinks and what God knows.
Amen.
When you come to church, you're here for God this morning. We're not here. We are here for each other. We want to see each other, encourage each other, love each other, right? We want to fellowship, hug necks, shake hands. We want to ask how everybody's doing. We didn't want to do that. We want to come to church for each other. But we are here for church to praise and worship God.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Amen.
I love seeing every one of you here at church this morning. But you know what? I come to church to meet with God.
Amen.
And I need God to help me, and I need God to strengthen me, and I need God to touch me. You know why? Because I know one day eternity is coming. But I'm prepared. I accept it as I say. I'm prepared. Now, what does it say about eternity? There's a certain one. Every person will live forever in one or two places. You will either enjoy the joys of heaven. Brother Tommy touched on this morning in Revelation chapter 21. Look what, let me tell you what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there came no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Hallelujah, right there. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life free. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What about that?
Amen.
The joys of heaven. The joys of heaven. That's only for those that are saved. Preacher, that's eternity, ain't it? Yep, that's what I'm saying. What is about the sinners? What about the lost people? Well, they're in there too. There's in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man Lazarus went off, died. The Bible says that the rich man went to hell. And then, let me tell you this, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He didn't go to hell because he had money. Please, let's get that figured out. Don't think, well, I don't ever want to be rich anymore. That ain't what that means. But I tell you, his problem was he rejected God. He trusted more in his riches than he ever trusted in God. And his day was coming. You see, he was unprepared to meet God. And what did he face in hell? Well, I tell you, there was no lights. There was no cameras. There was no disco balls. There was none of this stuff. There was no party going on down there. What the loudest, greatest, best music going on that you can find on your radio stations? It wasn't none of that. It wasn't no balloons going off. It wasn't those little streamers shooting out there. It wasn't people. You know what? Even the devil is not even going to rain in hell. He doesn't rain there. The Bible says he's going to be going into the lake of fire. He don't even have the keys to his own place. But you know what it said about hell? You listen to this. Let me give you some words of what it says. The Bible says there was torments. What did he say? What the rich man says? He said in hell, verse 23 of Luke 16, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. The Bible tells us there'll be burning. There'll be separation. What if the person decides you're saved and you're lost? It all ends in death. What about loneliness?
Conviction by memory. All the times that you went to church and God gave you those opportunities that He was drawing you in to be saved. And you told Him no. You ran away. There'll be conviction there. There'll be thirst there. Thirst. What the rich man say? He said, can I just have a drop of water to cool my throat? There'll be a stench there. It's going to be burning. But the thing about it is, you won't burn up. I know people might sit there and say, well, it'll be like a fire. And if I'm just maintaining it and hold on to it, I'll burn up and I won't know everything. No, no, no. See, you don't burn up. So you're gone. You just keep burning. There is no burning up. You just burn. You ever seen a fire when you get close enough to it? It's hot.
Right.
But you ain't going to be just close to the fire. If you're here and you're lost, you're going to be in the fire. But you won't burn up. Tell them that there is eternity coming. There's a certain eternity coming. Do you know where you're going? Today is your last day. Do you know where you're going? Let me ask you something this morning. Are we living in the days when Isaiah chapter 4? Has God tried to get your attention? Is God trying to wake you up? Maybe something's going on at your job. Maybe something's going on with your health. Maybe something's going on with your family. Maybe you're in need of some things and it seems like all life's falling apart. Let me tell you something. If that's the case, God is giving you a second chance this morning. He's giving you a second chance. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Maybe you're here today and you're saved. You haven't lived your fullest to God. God's drawing you in. He's saying, I've got something for you this morning. You throw me. Maybe you want to return to God. I always want to return to God. Let me tell you something, because I live in a robe of flesh. I have to return to God every single day of my life.
Amen.
This flesh bucks up against the spirit. This flesh wants to cause problems. This flesh wants to divide things. This flesh wants to bring drama in different things. This flesh wants to act out. This flesh wants to be prideful. This flesh wants to be noticed about some things. That's the way the flesh does. The Spirit wants more and more of God. What are you serving today? What are you feeding today? Are you feeding the flesh or are you feeding the Spirit? Maybe God shook you up this week. Maybe God shook you up this morning. He told you. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Go ahead. You see, I can't tell you for certain that today's your last day on earth. But I can't tell you that it's not then. But I can tell you this. Are you prepared to meet Him? Are you prepared to meet Him? Miss Randy, why don't you come place the little piano this morning? I got a question for you. I just want to know something. I'm going to read you a verse, and this is the last verse. I want to read you something that first song. You just start playing when you get up there, whatever's on your heart. I'm going to read you 1 John chapter number 5. Verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the Son of God. Listen, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I don't want you to leave here this morning wondering. I know about me. I know about me.
Just got to come this morning. But it's up to you this morning.